This is
Mythical.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Josh, do you think I give off more of a sweet vibe or a savory vibe?
I think you give off both equally, like a Denny's Grand Slam.
Oh, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Aw.
This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Inaiti.
And apparently me telling you that you are the human equivalent of a bargain breakfast from Denny's is the nicest thing I've ever said to you. I have paid you like very, very intimate compliments. Not intimate like that. I meant emotionally intimate.
I've, like what?
Like give how much I really appreciate you both as a friend and a co-host. I think you've shown great resilience throughout your life. Your dedication to the people around you and those who you love is really admirable. But no, calling you a Denny's Grand Slam. Is this pre their new pancakes or
how
post?
How much is a Denny's Grand Slam?
If I had a guess right now, wait, don't tell me. I'd say
$12.95.
I'd say $11.99 Denny's Grand Slam. Could be, yeah.
Based off of location?
Of course it is. California, living expenses are higher. Denny's expensive. $12.49, build your own Grand Slam. Calories between 360 and 1980. That is a big jump.
You said how much?
I said $11.99.
I said $12.99? $12.95?
No, you said $12.99. Things don't end in fives. We were equally...
Did you just say things don't end in fives? Have you been to a store ever?
No, but like at a fast food restaurant, they're going to end in nines, not fives. It's like it was a 99-cent menu,
so
not
false.
Anyways, what we are discussing today are sweet versus savory breakfast, because that has been a choice that we have been given in America, land of plenty, right? Yeah. You go to a restaurant, you go to brunch, you go to a breakfast spot, and you're often faced with, do I get the French toast that's, I had a Thai tea babka French toast with salted condensed milk.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, it was
salted
good.
Salted condensed milk, that sounds really delicious.
And as we all know, there is an appropriate move in a group setting, which is...
I'm sorry?
The move when you are faced with a sweet or savory breakfast option, if you're in a group setting, is to...
Oh, everybody gets savory and then you get a stack of pancakes or French toast for dessert?
Absolutely.
Oh,
however,
okay, that was a true guess. That was like truly a guess.
What do you mean a guess? You don't do that?
I haven't been to brunch in like 3 years.
I'm not a brunch guy. I'm such a late night eater.
I'm a sleeper. I sleep until like 11 on the weekends.
Oh my God. Now I wake up with an anxiety attack at 6:30 in the morning. Even if I've gone to bed at 3 in the morning, I still wake up at 6:30 and then my day's ruined.
No. I sleep till like 11, 11:30 if I can, if I'm not woken up by a husband.
I envy you so much, the fact that you have a husband to wake you up and I'm there all alone with my stupid fiance. I'm Julia. I'm so sorry. I love you so much.
So crazy.
But I'm talking about like weekday. Right? Yeah. The everyday working person's breakfast. Do you prefer sweet or savory? What are you eating for breakfast on those weekdays?
I normally eat an egg. I like eggs for breakfast.
An
with a piece
egg?
Of toast. One egg with a piece of toast and some sort of cheese with salt and pepper.
That's actually, that's a very, historically accurate
Is it?
Breakfast.
Oh,
kind
no
of.
Way. Okay.
So it's really funny. When I was a kid, a lot of us when we were kids, we grew up eating cereal, right? Which we've gone through the origins
of
that.
That's very true.
But cereal has become sweet despite the fact that it was never meant to be.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think the mass majority of Americans, they like sweet cereal for breakfast. But again, my household, geriatric grandpa's cereals was the move.
Well, like, correct. Because, yeah. I mean, starting your day with just, like, a massive amount of sugar,
it doesn't end well for anybody.
No, it's delicious and I love it. But we can actually sort of, like, look to history to find out where breakfast traditions came from. And I didn't know a lot of this at all. And mm-hmm. so literally, if you break down the word breakfast,
breaking your fast.
Right from your last meal that you've had, you've slept for a long time, you wake up, you're breaking your fast. And the thing I didn't know is the French word for breakfast. You know what it is?
Well, so, E-L-L-E-O-U-S.
E-L-L-E-O-U-S.
Elu?
That's not a French word. Where did you get that from?
It is for me. I don't know.
Elias Zephaniah is a professional in Nigeria, on LinkedIn Nigeria.
I'm sorry, it just came out of me naturally.
Petit déjeuner.
Oh, petit déjeuner. Petit little déjeuner.
Déjeuner, that's where it gets interesting. So déjeuner means lunch.
Oh, it's a character in the Proud Family, déjeuner.
I think it's déjeuner, right? Not déjeuner. Déjeuner.
Am I saying it
There's
wrong?
There's also La Cienega Boulevardes, which is a favorite. Hilarious name.
All of her family members are named after streets.
That's funny. Yeah. That's funny. Anyways, déjeuner is literally the French word for breakfast.
Oh, cool.
Right? And then okay. Petit déjeuner, another thing I did not know, you go back to the Roman Empire, they had something called Ientaculum. I need Max Miller to teach me how to pronounce Roman words. Mm-hmm. But that was a traditional breakfast. Most laborers and farmers would eat breakfast. And back in the day, breakfast was whatever food you had. Mm-hmm. So it was probably some sort of barley porridge or bread that was soaked in wine if it was old crusty bread.
For breakfast?
For breakfast. Yeah. But as we transitioned into like the Middle Ages, we saw the 3 meals a day from the Romans go down to 2 meals a day, which makes sense why in French, déjeuner is just like, hey, you're breaking your fast with lunch, and then you go into dinner, and then petit déjeuner was sort of like added back in during the Industrial Revolution. Mm. I'm sure it predates the Industrial Revolution, but when breakfast became more of a thing, a nice morning meal, it became like, hey, this is a little breakfast.
Interesting.
And so for a lot of human history, people weren't really eating breakfast, and that has been very faddish and changed. Uh-huh. But of course, Industrial Revolution, you had a bunch of factory workers, and I'm reading... Cool. Is it Rachel Loudon's Food and Civilization? Where they actually calculate the amount of calories needed for people to survive and thrive increases during the Industrial Revolution because people are working long hours in factories.
Wild.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
It is really cool, right? And so now we have breakfast, and there wasn't a ton of tradition. I mean, there was tradition to draw from of just people soaking bread in either stimulants or depressants.
And so
people did that. You look at a lot of Western European breakfast traditions. You're getting a pastry and a coffee. That's it, right? You go to Italy, you're getting a cornetto, right? Cornetto?
Cornetto is an ice cream?
Is cornetto Italian for, it's Italian for croissant.
Oh.
And a lot of that's coming from the Austrian pastry tradition, Austro-Hungary, all that type of stuff.
Okay.
But we're in America, Nicole.
That's right.
We're in America.
Yeah, that was good though.
So you eating
that's
bread?
A lot of information.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
A lot of information. just spewing it out. That was awesome.
Yeah, thanks, dude. I really like learning.
Learning alongside you.
I love learning about things.
Cool. Thanks for teaching me things.
Many people eat eggs for breakfast.
Yeah, I like eggs for breakfast.
But why do you like eggs for breakfast?
Because the taste of eggs in the morning makes more sense than the taste of eggs at night.
But like that's. Not devoid of cultural context, of course, because I love eating eggs at night. I will eat...
You eat eggs at night?
I will say, okay...
I never eat eggs at night, and I never eat bananas at night.
There used
Those
to
are
be,
morning foods.
There used to be reasons throughout history why we did things, right?
No.
And now there's none.
What are you talking about?
Like, Industrial Revolution was like, oh, we all work hard, so we need to eat more food, and we need to eat more fat and protein so we can work harder.
Uh-huh.
But, like, after World War II, we fully broke history. Right, the atomic bomb was invented, Nicole. The atomic bomb was invented. We could just suddenly erase the world, you know, from the universe. We could kill it if we wanted to. You know, that's...
Okay.
That's, World War II breaking history, another great example, is that through all 250,000-ish years of humans being alive, the struggle has been, how do we get enough food?
Okay.
After World War II, it suddenly became... And, of course, there was a grace period where it was still really bad for many people, but... The history now has been we simply have too much food, and that's kind of killing us.
But why do we have so much food, but we still have so much food scarcity? I don't get it.
Oh, general like supply
that's
line
so
stuff.
Stupid.
There's no profit in feeding the poor.
That's so stupid.
I agree.
All the billionaires need to like give like a few millions of their dollars and then just feed people.
Yeah, there's some stat about like it would only take $10 billion to erase world hunger.
Is that true?
It's obviously really, really complicated, but I think the World Food Program from the UN has put that stat out there, and they simply won't do
Nobody
it. Jeff
will.
Bezos wants to
Nobody wants
go
to
up to space.
How much money does Jeff Bezos have?
What, like 100 plus, like 150 billion, something like that. With the, after the divorce, probably less. But
$151 billion.
Yeah,
but that's not liquid.
Erase.
That's all in like, no. That's like all in like assets and
stuff.
Oh,
yeah, sure. Oh, no,
stocks.
He has no liquid. No, if you ask Jeff Bezos for $20, Nicole, he is not liquid. He can't give you the
$20. He probably doesn't hold cash. He probably
no,
has
he
a microchip in his
he
eyeball.
He can't do anything
no,
about world hunger.
He probably
hunger.
Goes like this. He's like, sure.
No, he creates
you know
a dick-shaped rocket. Go ahead.
You can't say dick on the podcast.
I said dick-shaped. It's a compound word. He creates a phallic rocket, Nicole.
You know what he probably does? He's like, oh, is... Ask me, I'm Jeff Bezos, ask me if you can have $20.
Jeff Bezos, can I have $20?
Sure. And then he just pulls his his eyelid down, and then the barcode goes into your brain.
Oh, God. So,
do you like eggs in the morning? You like eggs at night.
No, we've broken history, and okay. I have continued to further break it within myself, because I'll tell you why.
You're a broken man, Josh.
As I got deeper into CrossFit and the working out world in general...
Okay.
Again, I'm currently out of CrossFit because my back broken.
Josh is taking a moment. Yeah.
But once I get back in, we're going right back to it. Mm-hmm. So I simply view all food as calories. I have no more carbs, fat, proteins. I have no more like preferences on
okay.
when I should or shouldn't eat something. It's
okay.
all does this fit into? And I don't track my macros, right?
Good.
Or track my calories.
Okay.
But it's simply all, does this fit into what I need to complete a day? So if I'm running towards the end of the day and I'm like, damn, I'm like 20 grams of protein short of my goal, it's 9 p.m. Yeah, I'm going to scramble up 3 eggs.
So you don't track your calories, but you track the macros?
Huh? All up here. I don't write them down.
Oh, but you still track them.
I have a general, like, internal clock. No.
That's great. I'm not judging
I'm
you
actually,
because
Should
of
I
it.
Actually tell them my diet plan, what it is?
It's up to you. Do you want to share?
I would. And I think this is somewhat rooted in science, right? So 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. I'm about 205 pounds, so I shoot for around 200 grams
okay.
of protein. And then to me, the carb-fat split doesn't actually matter. I don't think carbs are worse or better than fats. I try and just like eat normally. I'll like eat some rice and some fat.
Yeah.
Right? But as long as your protein is staying the same and you are maintaining your desired weight, which for me is about 205 pounds.
Did you say 1-to-1 for protein and weight or 2?
1. So 1 gram of protein per pound
so
of body
you
weight.
Eat 205 grams of protein a day.
That's what I shoot for, yeah. So my protein shake in the morning has 50 grams of protein, and then 50 grams, like 7 ounces of chicken breast is 50 grams of protein. That's not even that much, right? You can get it.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Like 9 ounces of ground turkey. You can just do it.
It's possible. Yeah.
And so I have 4 protein feedings. Those are meals.
Protein.
But they're protein feedings. And then the carbs
you sound
and
like
fats.
An alien.
The carbs and fats. Those are the fun little additions.
Do you have your protein eatings for the day?
Chimichurri. But you know, think that's you're getting some fat on there. That makes the protein more fun. The fats and the carbs make the protein more fun.
Okay.
But as long as you're maintaining your desired body weight, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
Then you're eating roughly the appropriate amount of fats and carbs.
Cool.
So that's what I do. So for me, I will eat eggs at any time of day. It's morning, they don't even taste better to me. I would love eggs at night.
I mean,
I would love kuku sabzi at night.
I don't like eggs at night. I mean, yeah, if it's like on top of something as like a accent piece, sure. But I'm not going to like whip up an omelet at like 7 p.m.
Why not? Like lean in. Like think about
the pure joy that
you could get from like bucking historical trends, right?
That doesn't give me joy. Bucking
Why?
Historical... Because my life isn't rooted in bucking historical...
Wait. You're not getting joy from bucking historicity?
I am not getting joy from bucking historicity.
What do you get joy from?
Did you say hysterectomy?
I said hysteristy, and I don't know if I used that word properly.
No, But let me tell you, sometimes every now and then, whenever you're like having breakfast and like you have to be on the run, like everything you grab is typically on the sweeter side, right? Like it's correct. Like the American like canon of breakfast foods on the go. It's always to go stuff. Like it's a bar. Mm. It's a protein bar. It's a muffin. It's, I don't know. What else is another thing? Like a shake.
Granola, all forms of granola bars. And they change the names. They're baked oatmeal bars.
Whatever
now.
They are. Cereal they're bars. They're all sweet.
Yes.
Which sucks. Because I would love to have that same sensation of on the go and eat an egg bar.
No, you would not. Do you know how I know you would not? Do you know how I know you? Do you remember why you know you would not?
Egg bars?
Do you remember when a company that we love very, very much sent us egg bars that they made?
No.
And they were...
I don't remember.
Not good. I love this company to death. And I will not name them.
Good. Don't
but
name
they
them.
Made.
But they know they sent it to us, and they're probably listening. Right
I
now.
Even if they do, listen. I love them to death. I only buy their
whisper
eggs.
Their
I
name
wear
in my ear.
Your hat. It's Vital Farms. Oh, I love oh, you, it, Vital it, Farms. I love you, and you are up against again thousands of years of trying to like sugar is a natural preservative, so it makes
but
sense
eggs,
to have it.
But wait a second. Eggs don't need eggs don't need to be the bar version. Maybe there's like savory oatmeal bars.
Well, so
like crunchy bars.
I don't know if savory. You think savory oatmeal is the answer?
I don't know. Well, wait. Is oatmeal inherently sweet, though? No.
No, it's not.
Wait
but
a second.
We started adding sugar to every single cereal, so now we think of cereal as sweet. Cereal is
cereal's
carbohydrates, almost pure carbs.
Which your body translates into sugar, right?
Correct. But when you add refined
sugar... But it's not sugary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
What if there's a world in which we neither like sweet nor savory, we just like regular breakfast?
What do you mean regular?
Like
plain, like plain flavored breakfast.
Yeah, I like
no salt.
Yeah, like no, like a little bit of salt, but like you know what I mean? Like hear me out, like
a blancmange.
The best morning breakfasts that I have are typically boring run-of-the-mill breakfasts. Let it be Weetabix and almond milk. Oatmeal, coconut yogurt with some stuff on top.
Mm.
Like those breakfasts, I feel better and I act more accomplished throughout the day versus a sweet or savory breakfast. The bland ones allow me to get more stuff done. Is there a reason for that? Is there like a scientific reason of Soylent-esque like breakfasts?
If you look at like Ayurvedic medicine.
Yeah, okay.
No, but I was going to say there's foods that like, I would say raise the humors, right? You talk about hot foods and cold foods.
Sure.
Right? To me, I don't believe in necessarily that cultural side of it. Mm-hmm, but what I do know is if I eat like a ton of bacon and eggs in the morning, I feel a little bit worse. I'm like burping up bacon.
Yeah.
Ditto if I eat just a ton of pancakes.
Yeah.
And even if it's an appropriate portion of an ultra sweet food versus an ultra savory food, I just don't feel as good. That's why eat the same protein shake every single morning.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm like, I can have this consistency. This is a building block for my day. I built my house upon stone and not sand. You know what I mean? And so
huge.
I feel that. It's similar with you eating like some plain porridge. Like it just, it feels nutritive.
Yeah, it feels nutritive in place of like a flavor bomb of bacon, like you said. I wonder why that is.
Some of it might be like pleasure delaying. Where you're
maybe.
Like, I'm going to eat. I need to earn my good meal later. I need to send the emails because we're not working in a factory. But it's like, I need to be productive and then I can earn my meal. And that was actually a lot of like writers in the Middle Ages. There were a lot of like weird medical writers and stuff back then.
Okay.
Actually, the first time anybody mentioned eating eggs for breakfast was a physician in the 1620s, which I think is really
funny. What's their name?
What is their name? Tobias Venner.
Nice. First time in 16, you should name 20. Your first son Tobias.
Toby? I don't know, man.
Toby? Never mind.
But no, there was this sort of idea of like, it's like profane to eat before dinner. So there was just a lot of fasting going on.
Yeah.
And I think we still kind of feel that a little bit. I get hungies around 9, though, when I come back from a workout.
You work out until 9 at night?
No, in the morning. I get hungies when I need, like, I want things to replenish my body.
Do you eat before you work out?
Sometimes, but mostly not.
Okay.
Sometimes if I wake up super hungry and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to get through a workout, I'll like eat a little protein bar.
I need to eat an apple.
It's a little sweet. And the protein bars are incredibly sweet.
If I don't eat an apple and have a coffee before I work out in the morning, it's not a good time.
Do you remember we had a company-wide meeting a couple days ago?
Oh, yeah.
And they always supply us breakfast at company-wide meetings.
Oh, my God. They gave us donuts in the morning, and I wanted to cry.
We were all we were all, like, incredibly bummed about it. V and I ran back into this kitchen with 2 minutes left so we could, like, I just put protein powder in a shaker bottle and then drank that and grabbed an apple. And then V came in, like, scrambled an egg as fast as she could.
Dude, I know. I came a little bit on time / late, so I just grabbed a donut and got in there. It was horrible. I was crappy the whole day.
Which is funny because donuts are literally my favorite treat. They're like my favorite pastry, and they're my favorite treat, but they're a treat to me.
Not in the morning.
No.
Starting your morning with that is...
Especially in a meeting. Like, we have business to conduct.
Are we like just being really LA right now?
No, I don't think we are. Because I feel like
New York, you know, I get a coffee and I get a, you know,
the
I don't get a
bacon, egg, and cheese with the salt, pepper, ketchup.
No. You got to get a donut because you're a police officer of the law.
Are donuts in New York that we.
Donuts and coffee is a very New York thing.
Yeah, but we
like
this
foods
up.
With holes.
I think LA has the most donut shops per capita.
Okay, when I think of donuts and coffee, like I don't think of California. I think of New York.
But why were you so mad that there was a sweet breakfast?
Because it was sugar. It was just so.
Is this just because we have demonized sugar, which is a very new thing in history?
Maybe.
So a lot of breakfast foods have become super, super sweet because of World War II. But for real, this is actually really funny.
I thought you were being dramatic.
No. This is the thing. Sugar rations, right? We're going on.
Yeah.
Before World War II. And then afterwards, it was like a big celebration of like, well, you know, let's add more sugar back into things. And so breakfast cereals, to me, are the biggest culprit of changing the palate of Americans and also our breakfast ethics.
I hate cereal in the morning, like sweet cereal in the morning.
But you love a non-sweet cereal in the
I
morning,
right? I love Weetabix, grape nuts.
Well, that was the original intent. It was you yogurt enema and you eat cereal and you can love God and work hard.
Am I just one of these like weird Kellogg cult people? Am I in my core?
I mean, they had a point, right? Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater just because they wanted to stop you from doing a little hand relief.
okay,
you know,
Borat.
They also thought, you know, the idea of eating like whole grains in the morning. It is a carb that digests. I'm not a nutrition scientist, but a carb that digests slowly. Something like bran flakes, right?
I love it. Wheaties.
Tons of fiber. Fiber fills you up.
Wheaties, yeah.
You know, it has got a low glycemic index or whatever that's worth.
Dude.
You know?
I'm just one of these cuckoo crazy cereal cult people.
Yeah, but...
I think going back to what you said about not heightening the arousals in the morning is very accurate.
We are literally in the Kellogg's cult right now.
Because who wants... Can I tell you something?
Go ahead.
Who wants to start their mornings with a slap in the face of sugar or slap in the face of salt? Not me.
It's a raging sugar on. No,
yeah,
I don't want that.
I don't want that. I don't want that.
I can't have that. I got stuff to do.
I got... Well, I mean, do I put a little bit of sweetener in my coffee? Yeah, like maybe like the size of like my pinky
but
nail.
A chaste amount. Just
very
a chaste amount. Yeah.
Is chaste like religious?
Maybe kind of okay. Like a little bit. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh my gosh. They've gotten to me. I am one of them.
Yeah. Which
is sucks.
No, lean in.
I don't want to.
I would do that. And sometimes I do eat oatmeal for breakfast, but I need the protein. And that
so you
is
do protmeal?
Well, sometimes I do protmeal. Sometimes I do Brogurt, where I add the protein powder to the yogurt. But I really enjoy drinking.
What are these words we've created?
What? Protmeal and Brogurt. So protmeal is protein. Oatmeal is not brotmeal.
Are you explaining to me or are you explaining to the people?
I'm explaining to you.
I said protmeal. I know what it is.
No, but okay, fine. I'm explaining
Stop
to them.
Stop mansplaining to me. Mansplaining to them.
I'm bro-splaining. But it's weird because I have found myself like not craving savory foods until lunchtime.
Yeah.
Like at all. And I think it might just be because I grew up eating sugary cereal, stuff like that. But I guess I ate more savory breakfast when I was a kid. Like I ate a lot of Lean Pockets.
I ate a lot of Toasted Strudels.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. But I ate savory lean pockets.
Oh,
filled with eggs and cheese.
Oh, I ate toaster strudels with the frosting that my mom would hide from me. And I would ration myself.
That ain't got the whole grains. No, that's the good stuff. That's got the fruit goo. But it's interesting that in the late 1800s, you get like this weird religious cult movement kind of tied into temperance and all that of like, you want to eat grains. And then most people, again, were just eating what they had, which was bread and coffee.
Yeah.
But then Industrial Revolution, Second Industrial Revolution happens. And there is an incredible story. We've talked about it before, but the reason that bacon ended up on breakfast tables.
Bacon lobby?
The bacon lobby, yeah. And the, not only the bacon
always
lobby.
Always comes back to the bacon lobby.
Legitimately, though, no, it wasn't necessarily the bacon lobby. It was one dude named Edward Bernays, not like the sauce spelled differently. But he's literally considered the father of modern public relations. This happens in the 1920s.
Oh, cool.
The Beechnut Packing Corporation hires him to just get people to eat more bacon.
Wow.
And so he literally had a doctor on staff of his PR firm and said, hey, you think it's probably good to eat a lot of fat and protein in the morning? And the guy's like, yeah, people need it. And he goes, great. Can you ask 5,000 of your doctor friends to say that? And he went, sure, why not?
Genius.
And so they literally sent out letters and 4,500 doctors responded. Because apparently back then you got a letter and responded?
I think you just wanted your name out there.
Maybe. But they respond, and then there are all these newspaper headlines reading, doctors recommend more protein and fat. Bacon and eggs is the perfect combo to get those things.
Yeah.
And so that became a massive thing. And then you take the roll and the coffee that people normally had, you put the bacon and eggs inside that, and suddenly you get the biggest industrial city in the world at the time, their signature breakfast of the bacon, egg, and cheese.
That was very informative.
We got the breakfast burrito. Would you,
I do like
would you, could you eat a breakfast burrito for breakfast?
No.
What, but you love breakfast burritos.
At 12 o'clock.
At 12 o'clock,
at
right?
12 o'clock.
We need another breakfast revolution.
Okay.
When we're talking about savory or sweet
Let's
breakfast.
Start it.
When we're talking about savory or sweet breakfast, right, we should just be pushing that back 4 hours. Right.
What is your idea? Okay. Can you map out for me what you think the new world breakfast order should be?
I think we need to go back to like fully fasting and honoring God.
I need you to put it in terms of like time. So like what time are we waking up?
I think we should wake up with the circadian rhythms at the cock-a-doodle-doo of the rooster.
So 5 a.m.
5 a.m. Okay. You know, you hit a hard 2 hours
Maggie,
of CrossFit.
Can you write this
you
down?
You meditate. You cold plunge.
Wait, you're going too fast.
You get oxytocin treatments. You go find.
5 a.m. awake with the cock-a-doodle-doos. We have to have chickens.
We're all going to have chickens in the new world, or, okay. Of course. yeah. 2 hours of CrossFit or CrossFit adjacent workouts.
Or.
Huh.
Or. Maybe just meditating.
No. You're going to want to meditate while doing the CrossFit.
No, that's not how meditation works.
Oxytocin treatments. You want to find a stranger and make deep eye contact with them for 30 minutes. That way it raises your serotonin levels. Maggie, you getting
that? I don't
want
to do that. I'm also here as your co-chair, and I don't want to do deep eye contact.
I'm getting it right
you're
now.
You're not even looking at
I'm
me.
I'm getting the oxytocin right now.
You're so
right
scared
now.
To look at me in the eyes. You can't even do it. You're
I'm
looking
actually
at
looking
my teeth
right now. No, I normally look at people's mouths, but I'm
you're looking
at
my
right
teeth
now.
Right now.
I'm normally
I can
looking
see
your
the
mouth,
reflection of
what's
my teeth.
What's funny is in other parts of the world, they don't have this quandary. Like you go to Japan, right? And they have maybe the ideal breakfast.
There's actually a TikTok craze going on called a Japanese breakfast for skin, for glowing skin.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what's a Japanese breakfast to you? I have an idea in my mind, but
I'm gonna pull it up so I get this correctly.
Because I'm thinking like
I'll tell you
steamed rice.
It's 6 ounces of salmon, sake, and salt in the rice, kimchi, cucumbers, miso, and that's it.
You have like a North American fish, a Korean pickle, and liquor rice.
Yeah,
that's the Japanese people are eating for breakfast.
Yeah,
that sounds right. But no, the idea of like cooked fish, rice, so you get like a delicious lean protein.
Yeah.
You get good simple carb from rice. You get some sort of probiotic, which a lot of Americans eat yogurt. A lot of Europeans eat yogurt in the morning. That's probiotics.
I eat lox in the morning. Why can't we eat salmon?
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't know how traditional that is because, you know.
I just looked it up on Google in 2 seconds and it's just a craze on TikTok. It's probably not rooted in actual like Japanese like skincare stuff, but just people say omega-3 fatty acids are good for wrinkles, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Why didn't we continue our thing?
What?
You got distracted.
No, because I don't have any deep feelings about what breakfast should be, but I like... breakfast should fit your own needs, right? And for a while, people say you were in a factory, say you were on a farm, right? Say your chickens
never survive at working
laid,
in a factory.
Oh, me neither. Oh my god, I would never. Just fingers would be
severed. Oh my
severed.
Gosh, thank
ugh.
God.
Ugh. Unless it was a shirt waist factory, I feel like I could have
shirt waist.
It was a real big American tragedy where it's called the Triangle. Was it Triangle Shirt Waist Factory? Or am I missing?
Well, we're
one
putting
of these,
Maggie to
triangle
work.
Waistcoat, triangle factory fire. Triangle shirtwaist factory fire. One of the worst disasters in American history, especially from labor. They blocked all the exits so no one could take smoke breaks. And then like a fire started or something. And everyone was trapped in and they died. But the point is, the world has changed so much to where our biological needs no longer fit like the available food supply, if that
yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, we were like cavemen.
No, but like not even cavemen. We like used to have to walk places or
oh yeah. Or
go, you would even have to walk to a store. We don't have to do that. You used to have to go to an office. We don't have to do that anymore. We are now like,
well, we still come to the office every day.
We still come to the office every
me
day.
Me and Josh are in the office Monday through Friday.
But the point is, you eat what makes you feel good. You eat what you have around. And sometimes, you know, you poo-poo at free donuts because all you want to eat is a very plain porridge because you think it'll stop you from doing certain things against God.
I am going to be a plain porridge girly for the next 4 months to see what happens.
We need to buy spurtles.
What?
Oh my God, she doesn't know what a spurtle is?
Is that the cool spoon?
Yes.
I know what a spurtle is.
It's spurtling time.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Nicole. Hey. We've heard what you and I have to say. And I heard you singing No Doubt earlier. But it's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles. Are you a Gwen Stefani fan?
I actually am a huge. I listened to No Doubt's first album though. It's not nearly as good. There was like it was yeah, like their second or third.
It's
that
when
came
they were
out.
Like ska punks. Yeah.
Well, no, but they have a great sort of ska punk album. But I can't remember the name of it. But it's Spiderwebs is on it.
I know what Spiderwebs is.
I'm just singing it.
It's their first album.
That's not their first album though. And I went back and listened to their first album from like 93 or something.
Trapped in a Box.
It might have been. Their first album is just self-titled.
Trapped in the Bugs. That's how the song sounds. Sorry.
It's time for everyone's favorite segment. We call it Review a Review. We take one of your Apple Podcast reviews. Please give us an Apple Podcast review. And we're going to review your review. They say, words lack for true appreciation. 5 stars. Having been a GMM fan and watcher since the beginning and seeing the growth of their community and business has been wonderful to see. Raton Link, I've really found some true talented individuals that are vivacious, lively, and encouraging to each other. I would like to call them friends, as I feel like I am right with them in the kitchen. Trevor, I know about VeggieTales too. I hum the songs all the time. Peace to all. CRK Blue, that was very sweet. That was heartfelt. That is a 5-star review.
I'm going to give this 4.5 stars.
Where can they improve?
I think this was about our like YouTube channel. and not so much about the podcast
specificity. I'll drop it down to 4.5.
No, I appreciate it. I will always appreciate a 5-star review, but like, there's nothing about the podcast. You're reviewing a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I guess you're right. Yeah, yeah. 4.5 stars.
I've watched 3 VeggieTales episodes, and I would like to watch more. I like the tomato guy.
That's Larry the Cable Guy plays the tomato.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
Tomator.
No, you're thinking about Cars.
I'm always thinking about Cars. I'm a big auto guy.
No, you've never seen Cars.
But I can think about VeggieTales.
Have you ever seen Cars, the movie?
I actually have, yeah.
No, you haven't.
I have.
Who voices Lightning McQueen?
Owen Wilson.
God, he's watching.
God, I'm good. And the one song was written for Life is a Highway. Right? That was like, was that written for Cars?
Did you
Cars?
Want me to continue?
Was that written for Cars?
Ask Rascal Flatts.
Do you think we could get him? So listen to that first opinion.
Hi, Josh, Nicole. My name is Emma from Seattle, Washington. And my food opinion
coffee
is
there?
A restaurant opinion. And that is that whatever menu item is on the little like placard at the cash register, not on the actual menu, but on like a separate little stand at a mom and pop restaurant is the best thing they serve. Yep. I've been to a smoothie place that had a little one advertising their dumplings. Best dumplings I've ever had.
Big time.
It's 100% true, 100% of the time, and I think that should be common knowledge. Thanks.
Smart.
Okay, I don't know if I agree with this.
What?
A lot of the times, the things on the placards is just something that's going bad, and they're just trying to, you know, supplement it and make it taste good and sell it to people.
I see your logic, but I vehemently disagree with it.
That's
my own.
Funny because you are you have like a very negative outlook on life. Sometimes I thought you would agree with me.
No, normally I would, but I tend to have a positive outlook on eating food. You know what I mean? I'm always excited when I get to give somebody money and they get to give me food. And so I think it changes my general psyche when I walk in there because I agree. You see something on a placard, you're walking in, you're deciding what to order, and then the placard's just like, we got egg rolls. And you're like, oh, shoot, they got egg rolls? And then you get the egg rolls.
My brain is, I guess it's coming from like a chef standpoint.
Yeah.
Like
an economic realist.
Yeah, like, oh, the cabbage is going bad, but cabbage never goes bad. The carrots are going limp. Let's do something with the carrots.
But a placard restaurant wouldn't have like carrots, right?
How do you know that?
You know what I mean? Because I'm saying the placard, the phenomenon, you're at a counter order spot. And you're up at the cash register.
There's so many places that do counter ordering that have fresh vegetables, Josh.
No,
what's
but like, the, but the carrots aren't a placard item. Like a placard item would be like dumplings, like egg rolls, especially if
you're
there's
not,
a deal.
You're not really helping me right now. Understanding, you're not being very helpful.
Okay, so my favorite placard item that I can think of is a spot called Bun Mi Mai To.
Okay,
right out in Alhambra, they got great bun mi. Very cheap, very affordable. And you go up there and there's a placard that says pâté chaud. Pâté chaud is a type of, not like a meat pie. It's like puff pastry with like this delicious. It's like pâté chaud, which chaud means hot.
Oh, okay.
And so it's like hot pâté. So it's like a forced meat. It's a Vietnamese sausage that's inside puff pastry and it steams in there. And it's my favorite meat pie in the world. And that's on a placard. Okay. And then it's in a case.
Oh.
And so you point at the placard, they go to the case, they give
you
the best food of your life.
I don't think I'm understanding what placard means.
Like a plastic
that says available now.
Yeah, it's like a special.
Hamburgers.
It's like a special except a waiter's not
in
reading it.
In my mind, all specials are foods that are going bad and the chef is trying to sell it.
You know what I'm imagining the specials are? Because I've gone to like Taste of Tehran too, mm-hmm. and they'll have like a placard that's mm-hmm. like, yo, we got like you know, trout, or we got like cuckoo sabzi or something.
You love cuckoo sabzi.
I love cuckoo sabzi.
Are you craving cuckoo sabzi?
I really am. I want.
I'm
going
to learn
right
how
now.
To make it for you.
I'm also starving, and I'm short of my protein goals by about 40 grams. And so, give me about 9 eggs, and that'll solve that. But I'm imagining they got the normal menu. But someone's mom's in town, and she's like, "Let me make the cuckoo sabzi."
Maybe
this happened when I went to
the sabzi for the Horesh is going bad and they have to find a way to do something with
don't
it.
Don't ruin the sabzi for
Josh,
me, dude.
I'm giving you
don't
realistic. I'm not saying that's what they do. I'm saying there's a very high likelihood that's what's happening.
I put a lot of trust in people who are feeding me. I don't trust anybody on anything else. But if you're feeding me, I am suddenly very trusting.
What a simple man.
Right? Very simple.
I love it.
Nane Gloria, Filipino steam table spot. Went there,
there on a
Wednesday and I was like, y'all got the kare kare? And they were like, only Maria knows how to make kare kare, and she don't come in until Saturday, and she won't tell us how to make it.
That's awesome. So I'm like, okay, that.
Give me some ginatang.
I like that. I like that.
Same. And then the placard gets broken out, you know, because Maria is in town. She's making the kare kare.
Okay. There's like a, okay.
Yeah.
I guess it's situational, huh?
Situational placards.
Hey, this is Maggie and Molly.
Dude.
And your food opinion for you. I always put goldfish as croutons on my salad. And
smart.
My friends always think I'm crazy.
You're not crazy.
It's amazing. And I also put croutons on it. But like when I say that I put goldfish on my salad, my friends are like, you're crazy. And I'm like, no, you should try it. It's really good.
Yeah, it's just like cheesy and crunchy. And it's a great replacement. Okay, have a great day. We love your podcast. Bye.
That was awesome.
Smart.
It's croutons and goldfish on salads?
If you would use two types of lettuce in your salad, right?
You get
like butter lettuce and then something like a spring mix or mescaline or something,
right?
They add two different things. That's fine.
I think that's okay. I'm into it. I don't like love it because of the little fishies swimming in a sea of lettuce, but whatever. I'm willing to look past it.
Yeah, you need to get a land animal shaped cheesy cracker.
Yeah.
You should
make animal crackers, but savory.
Or at least an animal that can live on land, like a dolphin.
Oh my God, I've done that for GMM before. I've literally made animal meat crackers in the shapes of the animals.
I remember that. I have been taking Quest chips because they taste like Doritos.
I hate Quest chips.
I love Quest chips because I don't love them. They're not the best chips, but they do have like 20 grams of protein per serving. So I'm making a salad. I can cut out like 4 ounces of chicken and add a crumble of crushed Quest chips. Bingo, bango. Nicole's yawning because I bore her.
No, it's my caffeine. I haven't had caffeine. The coffee I made in the morning, it didn't really do much for
me.
Yeah,
the coffee was weak. I rammed some Folgers earlier.
Did you just say the coffee I made for you in a Chemex was weak?
Not only was it weak, it was tepid. I'm grateful for the coffee. I'm grateful for the weak, tepid coffee. It was a nice gesture. It was just weak and tepid.
If the water was too hot, it would burn the grounds.
No, give me...
Oh my God, you said it was good.
Just let me mix boiling water with instant coffee,
Josh,
and I'm happy.
Good.
Caffeine is medicine. Protein is medicine.
This is the worst day ever. I'm never making you coffee ever again. I might make you cuckoo sabzi, though.
That'd be really great.
Because I want your validation.
Should you tell people what cuckoo sabzi is?
I desire Josh's validation.
Tell people what cuckoo sabzi
is. You tell them. You explain it the whole podcast.
Sabzi means herbs.
Yeah.
Cuckoo means eggs.
Yeah.
Herbs and eggs. You take a ton of different herbs. What kind of herbs you got going in there?
Depends.
Take a ton of fresh herbs. You chop the hell out of them. Mix them with eggs.
Spinach.
Yeah, you take some spinach, some greens around it out, but it's just like this deeply, there's more herbs in spinach than eggs, but it's held together. And it's just a delightful flavor bomb. Feels very nutritious. Really good.
It's like tarragon and dill and green onions. Every mom's cuckoo sabzi is different.
I want yours.
They call it, okay, I'll make it for you. It's not very good yet, but I'm learning.
Hi, this is the North Carolinian Jell-O revolutionist. my opinion is that we as a society need to return to Jell-O salads and aspics. Given the current economical climate and everything going on, Jell-O is the perfect way. You can make it sweet, savory, any sort of flavor you're looking for. You can turn it into a good Jell-O dish. You just have to get creative and be not afraid. And that's why I think it's really important that we try and make Jell-O popular again. Anyways, that's my opinion. Thank you for the great show and podcast.
Everybody's so nice.
Yeah, everyone's a little wackadoodle too, and I love that. The Jell-O, listen, you ever hear somebody who has like really fringe political beliefs, and you're like,
all the time,
and you're like, I like agree with some of those things in theory. I would just never say it out loud, and also it would never work in practice. You know, one of those things.
Yeah,
you're like, there's a nugget of truth there, but this is just
we don't have time for it.
Right? Yeah. That's how I feel about the North Carolinian Jell-O revolutionary here.
Well, I'm an aspic ambassador, and I think that I am for this, for the greater cause of goodness.
But are you buying the economic argument here?
What? That there's crappy economic?
We're falling on tough times.
Yeah.
People need
more gelatin in their diet.
Well, I don't know that they do. Do they? Can we confirm this?
Gelatin makes strong bones.
How many doctors have signed a letter and snail mailed it back
gelatin
to you saying—
Gelatin is good for collagen and elastin are good for your skin.
Damn. Wait, I hate how you're right in that there could actually be an economic angle to this, at least in terms of selling more Jell-O. I love Jell-O as much as anybody, probably more than a vast majority of
people. We don't eat Jell-O anymore as a people. it's an atrocity. I grew up, my mother used to make us Jell-O with pomegranate seeds every Friday for Shabbat. It's been 15 years since she's done it, and I won't stand for it any longer. As an Aspic ambassador, I will make it my duty, nay, my privilege and blood right to do it.
Nicole is going to be chief of the Jell-O Revolutionary Guard, and she will be brutal. I mean, tried for her war crimes in The Hague.
Try me.
Hi, this is Alex. I want to know what is the best vegetables to put in a stir fry.
And then the most normal question. From Maggie. Jell-O Revolutionary Guards to like...
Maggie, did you do that on purpose?
Do what on purpose?
In that order.
It's just a person asking for vegetables to put in a stir fry. I'll tell you what. It's
gotta
be...
Water chestnuts.
Why? Can't use canned vegetables.
What?
Canned water chestnuts.
Okay, that's the only canned one you should
canned
use.
Canned bamboo shoots.
Okay, that's the second one. What about...
Canned baby corns.
No. Okay.
That's it. I have three. I don't know
all
what you're
of them are
for.
White.
Sure, and then you can add other things.
I like frozen peas. I like frozen corn, and I like frozen carrots.
Yeah, honestly, dude, stir fry, a good bag frozen mix. If I'm doing a stir fry at home, I'll tell you what I'm adding to it. It can get annoying if you have to cook vegetables separately, right? Like if you want to do, I love stir fried eggplant, but you have to blanch it or roast it or
such
something.
Such a process.
And so it's a process. Don't do that. Broccoli. Love broccoli, and it'll cook in a pan as long as you chop it up fine enough.
Sure.
Carrots are the same thing. Mm-hmm. You add a splash of water to that pan while things are cooking. So I would go carrots, broccoli. I love bell pepper in a stir fry. I love onion in a stir fry. And also get some ginger and garlic in a squeeze tube and just go right in there. Yeah. And it's going to make everything taste so good.
Or better than that, just get ginger garlic paste.
Ginger garlic. Yeah, make you never know, want them separate.
Yeah.
What else? Onion, garlic. I mean, canned bamboo shoots and water chestnuts are great.
Yeah, I like the frozen veggies. I think it just makes life easy. Also, can I tell you, like you said, pre-made stir fry mix? Excellent. Snow peas.
Yum.
For fresh. Like fresh vegetables.
I love snow peas.
If I see snow peas at the market, I'm picking them up.
Well, no, I
will. Will I make them? I don't know, but I'm gonna pick them up.
Yeah,
because I never see them.
Julia doesn't like green beans, and I
what
love green
the
beans.
Hell?
I don't know,
what
man. She doesn't like green beans. I'm pretty mad about it because
I really love green beans,
and I'm sick of having to change myself
I love
for this
Harry
relationship.
Harry Covert.
What?
I love Harry Covert.
Harry Covert.
I love. Yeah, Harry
that's Harry Styles' brother, Harry Covert.
No.
What?
If it was Harry Styles' brother, they would have the same last name.
No, it's like how in Chinese, like the order's flipped.
What are you talking about?
That's why Yao was on the back of Yao Ming's jersey, because the surname in Chinese is
really
in the front. Yeah.
Wow.
Which makes a lot more sense. If
that makes
really
a lot more sense.
It. Yeah.
Isn't it true that in Iceland also, like, you take your mom's last name or something? Or Greenland? Where's Bjork from?
Bjork's definitely from Iceland.
I'm just trying to, you know, relate to you. It's hard.
Do you like Icelandic front runner in the canceled 2021 Eurovision, Daði Freyr?
No.
Oh. Well, that's the podcast, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. We got new episodes coming out on Wednesdays on audio platforms and Sundays on video platforms.
That's right. And if you want to be featured on Opinions or like Casseroles, this is some of the best opinions we've ever had yet. Hit us up at 833-DOG-POD-1. The number again is 833-DOG-POD-1.
You can also call 833-DOG-POD-1 to join Nicole's Jell-O Revolutionary Guard basic training.
You know how like
speed Jell-O wrestling.
You know how people have like movements? This is our movement. Because you're like Jell-O.
Like that's your like when you say like a tan and like you would sort of you just wiggle
tan,
your body.
But we go like
you just
this.
Awkwardly wiggle
yeah,
your
we're
body.
Just shoulders up and down, chest undulating.
Yeah, so if you're a big undulator or wiggler, the Jell-O Revolutionary Guard may be for you. Also, you will have to learn how to fire various assault rifles.
That's not true.
What, you're just gonna go handheld? You're using like submachines? Like what's going on?
It's just about Jell-O, man. You gotta be so crazy about it.